This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk. And now here's your host, Dr. Lori Buckley.
Well, hello and welcome. Today is another Q&A show, and we got a lot of really great responses from the last one, so we are at it again, and I am looking forward to hearing today's questions.
Every guy wants to be able to say, when the girl talks to her friends the next day, or even subconsciously says to herself, he has just rocked my world more and better than anyone else ever has. I now flash back to when I was in college, and I thought, I'm going to really show this gorgeous woman my skill with the tongue, and I'm going to try and show her what I can do other places. And she finally pushed me and said, I don't really like fast tongues. In other words, I must have been like a freaking lizard.
Mark, what's the first one we got?
Well, interestingly enough, it's a question I've even thought of. The old classic G-spot. Dr. Buckley, am I missing something? Is there an A through F spot I didn't know about? I actually thought of that first time I ever heard of it, too. What is a G-spot? Where did it get its name?
That's a very good question. Well, we can first talk about where it got its name, and that is from Dr. Ernst Grothenberg. And he is the one who came up with the G-spot, and it is named after him. Some people wonder if the G-spot even exists. And yes, it does exist. It's not really a spot. It's more of an area. And the area it's really the urethral sponge, which is in the front top part of the vagina. So if you were to stick your fingers in the woman's vagina, go up about 2 inches, which is really about a finger's length, and press upward and forward, you would be able to find it. Now, it's much easier to find when a woman is aroused, because when she's aroused, one, she'll be able to feel some, you know, sensation when it's being rubbed. But also, it does engorge with blood, just like anything else. So it is this really pleasurable area for a lot of women, but not all women. So some women, you know, they report that it is just the most amazing feeling. I mean, they really enjoy it. And then there's some women who say they just don't enjoy it at all. They really feel nothing. And some of them say they even feel annoyed. So really, it's worth investigating, doing a little exploration, just have some fun with it. And, you know, you could be surprised about what you might find out. Like I said, this is an area, if you are able to find it and your partner's willing to do this with you, you know, she can be forever indebted. You can give her an experience that she hasn't had before. So there's that. And there's also the good old blended orgasm, which, you know, combines G-spot stimulation and clitoral stimulation. And those two together can be just an incredible feeling. And a lot of women love that. They say that's their favorite kind. So I hope that answers the G-spot question. Do we have another question?
Well, first of all, I'm glad it's been reduced. It would be awfully hard to ask someone if I'd like to explore your Ernst Grothenberger.
a good point. Oh, and I forgot to answer the A through F question. You know, there really is no A and F, technically speaking, or literally speaking. But you know what? I think a fun game would be to try to find the A through F spots. You know, hey, let's do the whole alphabet. Let's find all the different spots on your body that do it for you, that, you know, sort of your trigger spots that really give you a lot of pleasure. And it's not necessarily just the obvious ones. I mean, you know, there's always the neck and the ear and, you know, the lower back and, you know, of course, the bum and the clitoris and, you know, the toes and lips, but there's, you know, areas that we all have that are different. You know, some people like having the inside of their arm touched or the tops of their head. So kind of have a little game where you come up with your own spots. It might be kind of a fun language, a good kind of a thing. You could say, okay, honey, you know, I want to have my B spot, rub my B spot today. So yeah, make it a game and have some fun with it and come up with your own A through F. And while you're at it, go for the G.
Ay vey, it has a whole new connotation to learning my ABCs. I can't wait to bring out my dictionary, conjure up these words. I think it's a fabulous suggestion. Ergo, the whole idea of the communication of each other's areas, spots, whatever you want to call them, that bring pleasure. I think that is great. It's sex play that sounds like fun without being too demanding. And there again, I don't need to be, if I can't imagine if I ask a woman about her G-spot and I have to start explaining the Grafenberger. It's just, the name itself just doesn't lend itself.
Yeah, it's not really very sexy. And, you know, who has to stop at G? You know, what about the H spot? It's a whole new realm of discovery out there just waiting for you. So I like it. So let's read the next question, Mark.
It's another question, but it's almost like a follow-up. Say, for instance, it's the first time we were just talking about exploring, the first time you're with someone intimately. Is it, as a woman, is it off-putting if you start asking questions? Is this good? You feel this? You like this? Do you like this? Or should you just kind of do the lack of a better expression, the Braille method where you try and touch and see reaction-wise? Because you don't want to put somebody in a position where you start having them think, wait a minute, he's rubbing the inside of my arm. What is he doing that for? Well, someone else told me it felt good. I don't want to overthink the process, but at the same time, I don't want to be, my intention is to turn somebody on, not off. So at what point do you start verbalizing this? And the old, I think talking too much can be exciting to some people and maybe putting some other people off. What do you think?
That's a really excellent question. You know, certainly talking about it in some ways is not very sexy or romantic. I'll give you that. And, you know, so we always talk about, oh, communicate. And people say to me, you know, I don't feel comfortable communicating. I don't like communicating. Well, first of all, there are other ways than verbal to communicate. So there's nonverbal communication, which is really important. So as a lover, whether you're a man or a woman, when you're with your partner, you want to pay attention to the nonverbal communications, you know, the moans or the way somebody's moving. Pay attention to that and you'll learn a lot. But there are times when, especially when you're in a new relationship, although I think always there are times when you want to be able to find out, you want to ask what's going on. Now, I think I've said this before, but it's worth repeating that when you ask open-ended questions like, what do you want or what do you like? That tends to be really uncomfortable because sometimes we just really don't know. It's too much. It requires too much thinking in that moment where we just want to be present and be enjoying, you know, the feelings and the experiences that we're having. So sometimes it's really good to just ask either or questions, you know, do you like this or does this feel better? That's a really good question. Or just when you're doing something, do it for a while. And if you're not getting any nonverbal cues, you know, just say, you know, do you like this? Are you enjoying this? If they say yes, say, you know, let me know. Let me know your pleasure, whether it's through moans or when I do something you like, just tell me. You know, when I do something that feels really good, just tell me, you know, that's it right there. This is what I really like. This feels so great. And so when you put that out there, it's good. Another thing is to model. So when your partner is giving you sexual pleasure, to definitely verbalize either nonverbally or verbally. And when she's doing something that you really like, let her know. We all need that, you know, that encouragement and that validation. We want to know when we're doing something right. And when our partners are silent, we just have no idea. You know, we're not mind readers. There's absolutely no way for us to know. And believe me, there's not going to be a partner who isn't going to be grateful for the fact that you are interested, that you really do want to learn about her body and know the best way to give her pleasure. But I do agree that you can't go overboard and talk too much and ask too much. So, you know, you want to spread it out. Unless you say, you know what, tonight is the night. Tonight, I just want to learn every bit of you. And I just want us to, you know, again, this may not be very romantic, but you can make it playful. And let's just learn about one another. And I just want to find out. And I'm going to just touch you everywhere and find out your hot spots. So that's hopefully a good answer. But, you know, just hopefully you have a partner who is willing to communicate with you, tell you what she likes. Because if you don't, then you're not really going to be able to have, you know, the kind of amazing sex that you're capable of having.
Yeah, that's the information I really want to know. Obviously, every guy wants to be the numero uno. Every guy wants to be able to say, when the girl talks to her friends the next day, or even subconsciously says to herself, he has just rocked my world more and better than anyone else ever has. Every guy wants that. It's not just ego, but you want to know it was great. I know it was great. But you want to be able to know you're hitting all the spots that are necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what makes a man a good lover? It's a man who is thoughtful, who goes slowly. You know, I talked about that in one of our last podcasts. So important. Slow down. Go nice and slow. Make it fun. And a man who really does want to please his partner, who's interested, who takes that time, who's not just absorbed in his own. So you do those things and she will be grateful. You will definitely fall under the classification of a good lover.
That's it. There it is. That's $1 million answer right there.
Great.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Hello, once again, you're listening to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with your host, Dr. Lori Buckley. And now here's the luscious Dr. Buckley right here. Hello, Lori.
Hey, Mark. You know, it's always so nice to have you here with me. It's nice to have someone to talk to and just kind of, you know, shoot the stuff. You know, I don't know. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were telling me how they really don't like the way their partner kisses. Have you ever had that experience when you're with someone that you really like? I mean, you really like them, but you just hate kissing them?
I think I've experienced the classic dead tongue syndrome, where they just kind of that's immediate response. It's like, oosh. Also, the person who doesn't respond to yours as well. Yeah, I mean, I think it's that click. If when you find that moment and you just both, you don't even think about it. You just think this is fabulous. But if it's not happening and there's something wrong, man, it can just throw the train right off the track.
Yeah, you know, and you know what they say. I mean, if you're with somebody and the kissing is just right, well, then everything else is right. And if the kissing isn't right, they also say that about dancing. I don't know if that's so much true. But that if the kissing isn't right, that nothing else is going to be quite right.
Well, being one of the few white guys who really can dance, I wouldn't use dancing as a meter for anybody's sexual prowess. Unless you got tons of rhythm.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about that. I don't think I'm going to go there. I don't know if, I don't know what's appropriate. Well, it is uncensored. But is there truth to, you know, to the whole, you know, certain people can dance better than others and therefore maybe have some other skills as well. But yeah, you know, there is something to that. I mean, I've had that experience and I do see a lot of couples where they say that there just isn't that chemistry. And usually the kissing is one of the first indicators. So what do? You really like somebody and you go out with them and it's time for the first kiss, right? Nothing like a first kiss, but you're all looking forward to that first kiss, anticipating it. And, you know, yuck.
That's pretty much, it just kind of sticks in your, it's like taking a bite of a dish and it just doesn't work. You put the fork down, you want to rinse your mouth out. You just, okay, thanks, see ya. It's not fun.
Yeah. So, you know, as a professional, you know, at that point, do I say, hey, you know what, move on? Well, maybe. I'd say if it's, you know, your first date or two and you don't have a whole lot vested into the relationship, you might want to. But let's maybe think of some other alternatives. Sometimes people just don't know. They might be kissing you the same way that their ex partner kissed, and that worked really well for them. We all have different likes and dislikes. You know, somebody might really like a lot of tongue. You know, some people may not like that at all. Some people really get turned on by wet kisses. Some people, it grosses them out. So sometimes it's really a matter of, you know, at least giving it a shot. Say, hey, you know what? Let me show you how I like to be kissed. I don't want you to do anything at all. You know, I just want you to just stay there and let me kiss you the way I really love to be kissed. And you could try that and then you can have them do the same and see if you can sort of find that match. You know, also people are nervous the first time they kiss. So that could definitely negatively affect the experience.
Well, let me tell you something. If somebody with luscious lips starts telling me, let me just show you how I want to be kissed. I'm putty in their hands. Are you kidding me? That is fabulous.
So it's a no-lose situation.
Absolutely. It's like, let me be your guinea pig, and let me show you how to please me 100%. And we've talked about this before, the communication. If you can't communicate with a kiss when your clothes are on and it's the first real touching encounter, then you know it's going to go downhill from there. If you can start that communication now, just think how great it's just going to keep going. I mean, that's such a great advance. It's like, show me the cards when we're playing. You know?
Yeah, that's a really great point. If you start doing it that early on in the relationship about something, you know, well, relatively safe, then that does open the door for all of that communication and all of those other wonderful areas.
And just think, if someone's not receptive to listening to that wonderful little invitation, forget about it. You can close the door on it because, if they're not going to be receptive to what I'm trying to give them, this information now, it's going to get worse as the days and the clothes come off.
Right. So there is an example, or I would say, somebody's not willing to listen, or they're not receptive and they're not willing to communicate. Yeah, dump them. Absolutely. You know, there is just, why waste your time, especially, like I said, if it's early on in the relationship. So the bottom line, when it comes to kissing, what do you do if you're kissing somebody who it's not really a great experience? Well, give them a chance. See what you can do. Maybe they're, you know, kissing you the way that their ex kissed, or maybe they're nervous. Who knows what might be going on? It's worth a shot. If that keeps going on or they're not receptive to your suggestions or feedback, you maybe want to look somewhere else.
I now flash back to when I was in college, and I thought, I'm going to really show this gorgeous woman my skill with the tongue, and I'm going to try and show her what I can do other places. And she finally pushed me and said, I don't really like fast tongues. In other words, I must have been like a freaking lizard.
So what you're saying is that you got the whole fast tongue, lizard tongue thing going with oral sex. And so you thought, I'm going to show off that skill with the kiss. And so is it the same? Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. But I do think that even with oral sex, that may seem like it would be a great thing. What woman wouldn't like that? She likes a vibrator. Why wouldn't she like a fast tongue? You know what? Not necessarily. So here's another tip you get. You get all these tips out of this one show. How fabulous is that? Not just kissing. We come to oral sex. Slower is usually better. There are moments for fastness. Don't get me wrong. But slower is usually the way to go. And hopefully you all heard my exercise on slowing down.
Hubba hubba.
So I think that's enough for today. So again, write your comments, questions, send it to Lori@personallifemedia.com. Thanks for listening. You're listening to On the Minds of Men, and this is Dr. Lori Buckley.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.